Today, we're going to whip up a tasty morsel. Let's start with one Sri Lankan. Roast in an Australian climate. Stir through music, stories, and connection. Throw in a generous amount of comedy. Add a big handful of spice. Include a pinch of interest, a dash of sass, a splash of nostalgia. Blend in some provocative comments. Stir through sincerity. And to garnish, a sprinkle of magic. It's The Ginny Show.
The Ginny Show, oh, our lonely days are gone. It's magic, I know. I think it will be fun. Come on, hello. Like we knew all along, it's time to party. The Ginny Show, oh, oh.
What are you most afraid of? Is it something you can see, touch, hear or smell? Or is it a pang of anxiety? You can't see it, but you feel it. It's that tightness in your chest or that lump in your throat. Is it a thought? You're afraid that you're not talented enough? You're afraid that it's too late for you? You're afraid what people will say about you? You're afraid of upsetting others? You're afraid to dream bigger than you could ever comprehend? These are all the many guises of fear. Fear has a way of holding us at a certain stage or place in our life. You could say fear keeps us small or shrinks us so we don't grow or evolve to our full capacity. It's kind of like the same theory or sense we can apply to when we're in a relationship that's not particularly good for us. We know it's toxic. Our friends know it's toxic. But yet somehow and in some way, we stay in that relationship. Why? It may not necessarily be out of love, but it's definitely out of fear. Like most things at a young age, fear is something we are taught. As a kid, you have this sense of fearlessness. You can flip, jump, and feel like you can fly. Fear doesn't exist. Because really, we don't know it exists. As kids, we don't know what fear is until it's taught to us. Don't go outside at this time. It's not safe.
Why, Ami?
I saw on the news this poor girl got kidnapped. I don't want that happening to you.
Padma, don't let Virginia play on the monkey bus.
Yes, a girl flipped over and broke her legs.
Virginia can't sleep over, she will die.
You girls, don't go out to bars.
You will die.
Die.
I told you once, you will die, you will die.
You will die.
And the same goes for the other things in our lives that we resist. These things may not be as straightforward as fearing objects. Some people fear commitment. Because the examples of what they were shown to be commitment weren't pleasant or healthy. Some people fear showing love because the kind of love that they were shown didn't make them feel good. All these things are taught, demonstrated, and shown. We fear them. We start to form an opinion and a judgment on these things. That's the thing about fear, really. When we make a choice, consciously, unconsciously, or subconsciously, to look at life with fear, we restrict ourselves. We make ourselves comfortable in a particular reality. When I was in Sri Lanka, I was a really spirited kid. I didn't like mealtimes. Side note, how things have changed. It was actually a struggle to feed me my meals. When it was mealtime, I could hear my nanny yell,
"Little one, come and eat."
I'd hear that and I'd run next door. As you do when you're 2 years old. I'd sit on my neighbour's veranda and pretend to read the paper. Clearly, I thought this was a good strategy and a good hiding spot to avoid meals. To change this behaviour, Ummi gave me my first lesson in fear. She said,
"Pute, if you don't eat all of your rice and curry, these butterflies will come and they will eat you. and they will eat you.
And they will eat you.
Hold up. Hold up. Butterflies? Are you kidding me? Out of the elephants, the lions and other wildlife that roamed around Sri Lanka, all Ami could come up with to scare the living daylight out of me was butterflies? So, there you have it. Butterflies. I was scared of butterflies. When I sat down on my little chair for dinner time, Ami would say,
"See, Pute, that butterfly is looking at you. You have to eat all your dinner. Otherwise, they will come and they will eat you all up.
Eat you all
up. Eat you all up. All up."
You're probably listening and thinking, dude, come on. Butterflies are like...
fly by butterfly.
Butterfly, flutter by.
Bye bye butterfly.
Flutter by, bye.
But in my head, it sounded more like...
Virginia. 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 Gonna eat ya.
Virginia. Eat your dinner. Or we'll eat you.
Virginia.
So you see, I was taught that butterflies were to be feared. And even though I'm confident that the majority of the world's population would strongly disagree with me, that was what I was taught. It was the only way Ami knew how to ensure I had my dinner, that I was fed. And of course, we all know where food and eating ranks in the Sri Lankan mother's eyes.
Eat, eat, eat. Have you eaten? Have you eaten? Pute, have you eaten? Eat, there's food, go and eat. Eat, eat, come here, eat. Ah, there's papa, eat. Come and eat. Pute, come and eat. Eat, 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 eat.
It's a pretty big deal. I carried this fear with me for the next 10 years. If you went to school in Australia, you'd know there would be the odd excursion to the local zoo. Oh, what fun, you would say. You see the pelicans, the amazing sea life, the majestic lions and the butterfly enclosure.
Welcome to the butterfly enclosure at the Melbourne Zoo. Here you'll see butterflies from when they start out as caterpillars to when they blossom into their beautiful wings in their cocoon. I'm going to tell you some facts about butterflies now. Did you know most adult butterflies drink nectar from here? From flowers, through their tongues, which function like straws. Some other butterflies actually eat tree sap and other organic materials.
Let's do a quick roll call, Grade Prep B. Beth?
Here.
Melissa?
Here.
Virginia? Where's Virginia?
Mommy!
Virginia?
Virginia!
I actually didn't die. And the butterflies didn't eat me. I guess I should make a t-shirt, huh? With a print that says, I survived the butterflies. But to date, butterflies have been one of my biggest lessons in fear. Something so gentle and graceful as it flies around and does its thing, I'd run away from it. The more I fought the fear, the more I grew in fear.
The Genie Show, oh, oh.
I was really uncomfortable in who I was, and day to day I was just not enjoying life. And I picked up the book to try and help me overcome my anxiety and stop living in fear. Half the time I'd be freaked out that I was going to get anxiety, and the anxiety of getting anxiety was giving me anxiety. So, yeah, I used the book as a bit of a tool to help get me back on track. I felt stuck. I feel when I go through a period of anxiety, I can't move and I shut myself off from the world and I can't face people or have conversations, and I really become a bit of a recluse because it's more comfortable to sit in my anxiety than to have to face people with it. It probably stopped me from speaking up when I felt like I had an opportunity to add value to a conversation. It stopped me going out with friends. It stopped me just going after the things that I was really interested in. I guess I just lacked confidence and I was just full of anxiety, and that just overtook everything. A lot of it is, as I said, is inner work, but it's also, it was a lot of catching my thoughts when they were occurring, and I guess assessing whether they were real or whether they were just me stressing and thinking ridiculous things, and often a lot of the time it was me thinking ridiculous things, creating the anxiety, and it wasn't real. And so I realised that my stuff, although it was quite potent at the time, I really had to take control of it. So I think definitely a lot of inner work. I actually wrote down every time I'd have a negative thought, I wrote it down and scrunched it up and put it in the bin. Every time I had a positive thought, I wrote it down and stuck it on the fridge, and just I had to really train myself to think more positively and not get carried away by my thoughts. The Genie Show.
I think the thing that I'm most afraid of is grief and losing those close to me. I'm fearful of experiencing grief again because it was so hard to get through when I have been through it in the past. I think grief is just not something that just impacts you. Like, usually it impacts people around you that are close to you as well. So it's like you experience the grief yourself, but then you also watch other people that you love experience grief. And sometimes that's even harder than you experiencing it yourself. I mean, it's just, it's so final, and that's it. You don't get another chance to have more time with that person or, you know, just have them in your life moving forward. I would describe it as like a sense of anxiety, like it comes up in your chest, and it's always just like an overwhelming, it's just overwhelming. And to be honest, I just try to push it down and try not to think about it too much. This is probably a bit hypocritical because I should really listen to myself, but I guess just the thought that you will get through it. And I guess in my instance, like my family, we've got through multiple sudden deaths, and it's like at the time you feel like you're never going to be able to move forward and that life's just never going to be the same. And it isn't ever the same, but it doesn't mean that life isn't still beautiful afterwards. It just takes a little while to heal, and like there's always a gap you just learn to live with, really. The Genie Show.
The most alluring thing about fear is that we all feel it. Fear's main job is to keep us safe, or keep us in the illusion of safety. It's comfortable because it's familiar. We feel safe because we know exactly what to expect. We're in control. There's usually no unexpected surprises. How do you overcome fear? If it were easy, the whole world would be doing it. And the world would actually be a peaceful place. No divisions, no discrimination, just peace. It's the path less travelled, the path that is mostly unknown or not considered an option. The first step to overcoming fear is taking a leaf out of one of the most famous Disney princesses there is, Merida. She's brave. So, to know your fear, you only have to be brave enough to see it. And when you do, you may find a beautiful discovery. The day that I let a butterfly land on my arm, I was 12. I was playing in my backyard while Ummi was hanging up the washing. A lovely Sethosia butterfly landed on my arm. My first thought was, of course,
thank gosh I'm wearing a long sleeve top.
And then I watched the butterfly, initially like a hawk, but it seemed like it was happily sitting on my sleeve, like it was sleeping on 1200 thread count. Then it flew away, slowly, as if it were dancing in the air, as if it were happy that it got to experience landing on my sleeve. Now, I haven't interviewed this particular butterfly to confirm its experience, but for the first time, I appreciated its beauty, its innocence, and the cheesy metaphor that played out in my very backyard. I let go of my fear that day, and it literally flew away. All those memories in the butterfly enclosures at the zoo during my school excursions faded away. What I learnt was that fear, when I was going through it, was a projection. I thought that the butterflies were going to eat me, and I behaved in a way that I was already being eaten. What I feared was going to happen wasn't exactly happening in the present moment. Is this sounding a little familiar? I was experiencing the fear in my mind, and it manifested into my life at that moment. That's both the magic and the power of our magnificent minds. They manifest so potently that we actually feel we're going through that very fear, when in reality, we're not. That's why we choose fear, time and time again. It's because it keeps us in the known. So here's something to practice until we meet again next Wednesday. Every time a negative thought pops into your mind, try and replace it with an equally positive one. Every time you start to feel fear, ask yourself, is this fear really happening now? You'd be surprised how quickly you find peace of mind when you stop to find that answer. I found that when I realised the butterflies won't eat you.
It's the end of the show.
It's time to go.
We hope you've enjoyed the ride.
Come back soon. Please abide.
Wishing you a joyous day.
Go tell the world a hearty hey.
Hey.
Hello.